Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You're listening to Snowbound from Yellow Belly in Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas. We're here with the Stokey Mountain Boys, snowboarders from Eldora. We've got Trevor Waters, Tanner Tedson.
That's it.
Did I actually get it right?
You got it right there.
And Willie? Willie Beauregard.
Yes, sir. That's the name they gave me since 93.
Since 93.
The yes, youngin' of the group.
Yep. Holding it down. How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the show.
Stokey Mountain Boys. What the heck does that mean?
Well, I mean, the premise of it is the stoke, which is the passion, and it's what brought us here. And Colorado and snowboarding is it's the place to be and the thing to do.
We all happen to work at a mountain, so that works there.
And the friendship that we have just keeps it real and the stoke really high. We push each other, and we achieve our goals, and we just live the life that we love.
Camaraderie, that's huge.
And being able to spread it out, you know, but working on a mountain, we get to share with everyone else that comes up there. So we spread the stoke, we keep it going, we do what we can.
So I love that you said share, because you all are snow sports instructors. Why did you want to teach snowboarding rather than just going out and shredding on your own?
Being outside all day ain't too bad.
Yeah, no doubt. It definitely beats being inside of an office. But a lot of people might wonder why we snowboard, and that's kind of what led me to want to spread the passion, and otherwise known as the stoke. So naturally, it kind of led me to teach and instruct, and I like to challenge myself to see progression. And once I see somebody get a nice turn in, and you know, the smile that comes to my face when I get a good turn in, it's what brings me back for more. And stoke, passion, it's life.
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
I'd say for me, for sure, you know, this been around for a while now. And last season, I felt like I was kind of plateauing. And this season, being able to teach and see someone who has never even strapped their foot into a snowboard before making S-turns by the end of the day is something that just has brought my passion back to the sport in an unbelievable way. Can't even explain like how much I think about snowboarding, dream about snowboarding, snowboard. Just honestly, it is what consumes my mind now, and I haven't had
nothing that short of the truth. Yeah,
and you know, you just gotta go. Yeah. You gotta go as much as possible.
But Absolutely. It's interesting that you said it brought your passion back, because you seem to love snowboarding, but really teaching you
did
enjoy
because,
teaching that much.
You know, being able to see someone else get that first turn and they get the stoke and they get that smile on their face when they're just like, yes, I just did it. It linked up. It worked. And then I see them do that. I'm below them and I'm screaming louder than they are. You know? Now they're just like, yeah.
The fire is lit and then it's their job to stoke it on their own. And that's kind of the premise of teaching snowboarding. You teach somebody a foundation and then it's up to them to be creative and they can throw however they want, and it's individual expression, and that's something that's another huge part of snowboarding. It's another reason why we're all here. We all ride, you know, to our own style, but we all have the same common goal, and that's to have a darn good time doing it.
Yeah, Trevor, we've kind of left you out here, so.
That's right. They're doing a good job.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm always stoked.
This is Captain Waters here. Yeah.
These guys like to talk a lot. It's hard to get a word in edgewise.
The meter might have been starting.
He talks a lot to his. He's got a deaf dog that he talks a lot to, so it's, you know, he's got
sign
some
language. Yeah. I'm sending this dog telepathically out there.
It's his roommate, not his dog. So
Yeah, that's true. She's a wolf.
She's a wolf like me. But yeah, no, they summed it up pretty well. It's, you know, those moments that you have out there when, you know, for all you snow sliders out there, you know, that flow, and you get those turns and you feel that, you just, you know, you can't describe it. And then you like, but you can like note, you can see it and you like recognize it in other people. And then when you can like transmit that to like someone who's never experienced it and they can like get those experiences and have those moments and like you can see it on their face and how like, that's just what kind of like.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And it's a click too. It just happens. All of a sudden they could be falling every single 5 feet and then all of a sudden, boom. And they're up and going.
And that's much more gratifying than the pay might be, but then we also do have these extraordinarily cool benefits where we can ride pretty much any mountain in Colorado, and that's
for free.
Yeah. So
we do ride a lot.
So Winter Park yesterday. Yeah. It was unreal.
All time.
Yeah.
Why the snowboard? Each of you. Willie, let's start with you.
Skied when I was two. I'm actually from Florida, and when I was two, I went to Steamboat, and I don't remember much of skiing, but I do remember a beautiful view, and I mean, that's where Colorado kind of imprinted in my life, and I was like, you know what, Colorado's a place to be. And then up until I was 12, up until I was like 18, every year for a week, we would be out here in Colorado, and I skied when I was up until I was 12. Terrible skier, actually, couldn't really, the ski instructors couldn't handle me. And didn't like skiing, so strapped on a snowboard, immediately felt in tune. Once I heard the bindings click over my feet, it was just like music to my ears, and all of a sudden things came together. And it's just never hindered on a snowboard whenever you're up there. Just it's your paintbrush, your mountains, your canvas, and it's, like I said earlier, it's just a great way of self-expression.
So it's like Harry Potter finding his wand.
I mean, couldn't have said it better myself.
You didn't say it, I did.
Oh,
Tanner, how about you?
You got it, George.
So yeah, I actually started on two sticks as well. My dad owned a ski shop back in Santa Cruz, of all places. Closest mountain, about 5 hours. We were right on the coast there. So yeah, Lake Tahoe, that was the home mountain. We rode up Diamond Peak in Klein Village. That's where it all started. And started skiing, did it for a few years, and I think I got my first snowboard on my 9th or 10th birthday. And went into lessons with my brother and my cousin, the three of us. We all did it for one day. They quit after the lesson, put skis back on, never went back to a snowboard. And I was determined, you know, I was like, I'm going to give it a day or two, figure it out. And I jumped on skis after riding a board for 2 days, and I just couldn't even do it. I drilled a tree. I hit a chairlift pole. I was just could not make it happen anymore. So I switched back to the board and stayed on it, and I would ride by myself for about 4 seasons. My uncle, my dad, my brothers, they're all rippers. They grew up riding Squaw Valley, getting 50-plus days in a year, and they wouldn't allow a snowboard to ride with them.
That's right.
So I made it my absolute goal to get better than all my uncles so that I could go rip it up and show them what's up on a snowboard, and that was what drove me to just push myself with snowboarding. So I would try and progress, and then about four seasons in, they finally let me ride with them and had a good time. They respected me finally for riding one stick instead of two, and I don't think I could ever look back. I'm sticking to a board.
Yeah.
Trevor? Now, wait a minute, though. I'm really scared that Willie is going to get me here in a minute. I can see the look.
Yeah.
Trevor?
Anxious. He's anxious over here.
Got to watch out for him over there.
Yeah.
Following the trend here, I also started out on a couple of planks, riding Mammoth out in California and doing some trips with my dad was a big skier. So we had like kind of a ski family and we would always go on trips. We had a timeshare in Park City for a couple years when I was in second grade. Did a whole lot of skiing, kind of fell away from it, started snowblading, you know, that really cool
snowblade.
Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah, Trevor.
Obama blades.
Needless to say, Trevor is he's a snowblader.
No, and so then after that, I was like, okay, snowboarding was now the cool thing to do, so I had to start snowboarding about 15 years ago, and just started riding the board since then, and it's stuck, and I got way better at snowboarding than I was at skiing, and it's yeah. It's really fun.
This guy in one season, I have not seen anyone progress that much in one season. Hucking it.
Yeah, I just stomped my first backflip the other day. It was those moments that you dream about, and then they just kind of happen because you make them happen, because you push through your fear, which don't let fear dictate your actions.
Now, when you guys are up at the mountain, I mean, you're doing a lot of different jobs when you're not instructing. I see at the lifts, and the cool thing is you guys bring your attitudes to every job you're at up at Eldora, and it's infectious.
Well, that brings me to my next point, George. Actually,
someone's taking over.
Our job is not just to scan your lift ticket. It's to give you a smile and to give you as much stoke as one can possibly receive and as one can possibly take before you get on that chairlift. And we hope that you're skiing safe.
Don't forget to breathe.
Ski safe. Most importantly, that's number one. And then number two, have as much fun as you can. So that's kind of where we just pass it off. So it's safety. Safety comes hand in hand with stoke. And then, you know, do your thing.
We'll say the same thing to you 50 times if you're at our lift, but you know what? It's coming in hot every time.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Hope it's going good. If some people don't talk to you, so you kind of go back and forth with yourself. It's really a fun and exciting job.
You get to
George.
Mix it up with lifts, too.
The unique thing is, though, that you sound genuine when you say it each time. And I've heard it over and over. No. But seriously, I mean, you do. You sound like you really care.
I mean, we do, is the thing. That we want to show everyone else that we're there because we want to be there. You know, we're working on a mountain. We're living the life. We're taking ride breaks and shredding powder while getting paid.
And then
it's not a bad life.
Yeah, and like on the flip side, and when you can come together and you have a good group of friends, putting that together and then riding those awesome other mountains that we have the the benefit to ride for free. Having your friends out there and the camaraderie that you mentioned earlier, it really goes hand in hand with progression. I mean, you see some people do some pretty gnarly things and you just kind of step back for a second. You're like, wow, that just went down. So I follow that up with as much as I can. And, you know, it feels just good. Everyone's just cheering one another on and everyone's doing their own thing, riding their own style. And it's awesome. It's incredible.
So. First year of instructing for each of you?
Second, returning back at Eldora.
First for me.
First for me as well, yes.
What was it that kind of keyed you to give instructing a try?
Well, it comes down to the passion that you have for what you are doing at the time. So what we're doing right now is snowboarding. It draws you to want to do that all the time. And just you think about it and any way you can to just do that instead of anything else.
Yeah.
Is like kind of, so the easiest way for us, teaching. We're up at the mountain every day, on the snow every day, strapping my snowboard every single day. And that's just kind of like the way I want it to be. And that's the way it is.
Let me ask all you listeners out there, have you guys ever worked an office job? That's what led me to a mountain.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was
right there.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's the way I want it to be, and that's the way it is.
It's sort of like I am that I am.
So in second year for you, Willie, what was it that brought you back? I mean, what was it really about teaching that you just said, because it's got to be more than the ability to get out and ride. And you've talked about that some.
Yeah. Also, working with kids is something that's really cool because a lot of people, it's kind of sad and unfortunate, but a lot of people think that snowboarding is really dying out and dwindling and, you know, the numbers show or whatever. But it's really strong in the youth, and I think that a lot of parents these days are kind of encouraging self-expression, and I think there's really no better way than to go up to a mountain, and whether it be to ski or to snowboard, you're still getting involved in your own, you know, this is me doing it. And so a lot of these kids see us rad snowboard instructors, Trevor, Tanner, they're like, you know, I want to do that. I want to go snowboard. There was a student that joined my class last year who was a skier. She saw me on the mountain with another young lady that I was teaching, and she said, Mom, I want to snowboard. And I don't know if maybe the boots are more comfortable or if it's like a cooler look, but seeing the future of the nation, if you will, like some of these kids have the opportunity if their parents want to give them, you know, bless them with, you know, the tools they need. Some of these kids can actually go pro, and they love it. And to see them want to go top to bottom and not take a break, I mean, I'm wanting to take a break more so than, you know, a kid might be who's ripping it up. Hey, you want to go and get some hot chocolate? No, I want to do 180s. And they have the opportunity to do something big. So if you've been a part of that, there's no better feeling. I actually got to write a scholarship, a letter of recommendation for a kid who then received scholarship at Woodward for mountain biking, which, if anybody who knows who Woodward is, it's a pretty big deal. And I felt like I was a part of that. And that's huge to me. And also, respect is huge.
Okay.
Tanner, Trevor.
No, that was very put very well, Willie.
Yeah, so I actually started, I was a lacrosse coach for 3 years back in Santa Cruz, back home. And so I got the bug just from teaching people something that you're passionate about. And like Willie was saying earlier, I was in a total office job style environment before I started working outdoor ed. And I wanted something to just have fun with. But at the same time, I knew that I loved teaching people things that I was into doing. So to have a chance to be able to knock out two birds with one stone and have a job where I show up to work, you know, I have an amazing time. I go home, I'm not stressed out about it. And at the same time, I get to share probably the thing that I love the most in this world with as many people as possible. Then sign me up.
Bingo.
I don't want anything else.
Amen.
Well, what does it for me with the kids is I'm just a total goofball at heart, and just getting to hang out with kids all day and just be a total goofball with them all day, every day, just really keeps me young, and I get to enjoy. Adults are kind of boring now. They're too busy adulting and doing all their like taxes and stuff, and kids are just like, pew, 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 lasers and Pokemon, and I'm just like, yeah, let's do that instead of taxes.
And they're not as hard-headed, because if a little kid sees that you're capable of doing something pretty cool, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they're like, wow, I want to do that, whereas an adult's like, what do you mean I gotta keep my weight on my front foot? I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna lean back the whole time. You're just a kid, you know? And it's like,
you don't know what you're talking
about.
Excuse
me, sir, you know, ma'am, it's, you know, I'm here to do my job, and if you wanna give me that hard-headed adult attitude, then I'm not gonna be able to do it.
And the kids are a lot tougher. Adults are sissies. They take 2 falls and they're done for the day.
Yeah.
Kids will fall 50 times and they're just like Gumbies and
get back up. Did you see me?
Where it's like eye-popping, like you've just seen a ghost, you know? You're like, oh, man, you don't know if they're okay, and then you hurry down there and the kid... kids smiling from ear to ear and all you can see is snow on their face. I mean, that's just like, you're an inspiration to me. You're a hot dog.
So that leads me into my next question. What's the age limit on Stoke?
There is none, George. What a ridiculous question. What do you think?
Oh, come on.
The womb right there. Well, actually, if you think about how we start out, it's got to be on some Stoke. So.
Yeah, it
starts right from the beginning.
Yeah, Stoke is kind of...
And it will never fade.
Stoke's kind of the foundation that you lie at a young age, whenever whatever it is that you desire to try to accomplish, whenever you accomplish it, that feeling that comes to you. Like, for example, Trevor landing his first backflip the other day. He had this desire to do it, and what brought him there was the Stoke... that he was building up, you know, doing other stuff, doing little 360s or 540s or doing other little hits. And he's like, you know what, I have an opportunity that I can actually go much bigger and feel even that much better. And that would be the fuel to the flames that we call Stoke.
Yeah, what really was the best part of that was I was like lying awake at night just in my head imagining the moment that would happen, landing the first backflip. And then I just decided at one point in my mind, I was like, it's already done, like I'm going to do it. And I fell the first 3 times, did a pretty good face smash once, and then I was like, nope, one more, I got to do it again. And the 4th time, whipped that thing and stuck it. And like, after having this goal and then putting, you know, all this fear that comes into it, because a backflip's pretty serious. Well, I mean, it's technically pretty easy, but it's pretty scary. And
it's commitment.
Yeah. So coming up to that fear, that fear barrier, this quote that I keep repeating in my head when I get scared of something, it says, everything you have ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And I just, when you push through that fear and you actualize your goal, that is something that is like the most self-gratifying, self-actualizing like thing that I think a person can do. And achieving that, I can't describe it.
It is beautiful, and that's like, you know, Letting go of fear is a huge part of snowboarding, and like it's something that I've been dealing with lately. And I mean, you know, you can ask my buddies, and you know, it drives down the stoke, and you can't really allow that to happen because it's going to be this building block that you're going to have to just get around. And once you get around it, like on the other side of fear, just like Trevor just said, is something so beautiful that when it comes together, It literally can bring tears to your eyes. Trevor, that was sarcastic. However, when you follow up something that beautiful, it should have been real tears. I'll tell you that right now. What do you think, George?
I would have to agree. With that face shot had to give you tears.
Oh, man. Well, the thing about that, too, is I was working the lift, and I could see the entire train park from where I was working. So I had the entire crew watching Trevor every single time he went down, waiting at the bottom, and we're just sitting there in suspense, see him go, and he just eats it, and everyone's just, oh, no. Like, he comes down, give him high fives, get him all psyched up to go again. Like, all right, just do it a little bit faster, or just huck it around a little bit tighter. And I saw him every single attempt, and then I saw him get to stick it. And I'm sitting there bumping chairs, and I look underneath, and I see my buddy throwing his first backflip ever. Not much better than that right there. Yeah, he comes down, and he's dancing all the way down to the chair. Get down there screaming, howling like the wolf he is. It was pretty cool to witness.
Something I can take from that is, don't let falling build fear. Let it be a lesson. You know, let it. What did I do wrong, and how can I do it properly that's going to fuel my stoke? And now Trevor's probably going to be doing rodeo bag fives next week, for all we know.
That's interesting because, I mean, a lot of people would look at stuff like this and feel really competitive. You all are just really encouraging.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all what it's about. Trevor and I worked at a bike park over the summer together, and that's where it kind of began for him and I. And I kind of pitched him this job idea, and I was like, yo, I'm going to work on a mountain. You know, you're from Cali. You want to ride mountains? Let's do it. That's why I came out here from Florida to ride mountains. And so I already understood that he was, you know, a stoke enthusiast himself.
A Stokey Mountain boy.
Yeah, I knew he was a Stokey Mountain boy himself. So
roots run deep.
Yeah, roots do run deep. And exactly, that's so true. Roots do run deep, you know. Like, whatever it was to establish your desire to want to push yourself and push your limits.
It's not a competition,
it's a foundation,
really.
Yeah, it's not.
You're out there to have fun. And no one needs that kind of negativity in their life. It's all about the positive. You got to keep your friends positive, because you fall, and what do you want to say to your friend? Like, oh, you suck? You failed? You fell? No, you're like, oh, you'll totally get it next time. Like, that kind of attitude is what the world needs, not the other one. So that's...
Yeah. Honestly, it's a collaboration. Yeah, you come together, and you get three different brains looking at the exact same jump. We're all thinking different angles. Why not talk about it, think of the sickest possible thing you could do off of it, and then I'll try and hook it, and it's going to look different no matter who's doing it. But
because everyone has their own style. Everyone's got their own style. They do it their own way, and that's what's beautiful about snowboarding.
Yeah, whichever way you do it. Actually, one of my favorite snowboarders, Nicholas Mueller, and I'll quote him real quick in a movie, I think in 2007, Burton produced. He said, for right or wrong, there is no right or wrong. It's whatever drives you, you know, whatever makes you feel the best and whatever is helping you express yourself the most, that is what it's about. It's not always doing this differently than me. He's a different human being. Celebrate that. Like, that's awesome. You hit something completely different from me, and that's so cool because that's what you saw, whereas I might have saw, you know, 30 feet to the left, a different jump.
And you get to pick up on it and see the different tweaks and different styles.
And you get your crew together.
I want to try that.
And everyone's throwing down, and everyone's pushing their limits, and they're progressing, and you can see it. That's like just nuclear stoke fusion that erupts into a mushroom cloud of stoke.
We were at Winter Park last week. These guys actually rode that the other day, and apparently it was one heck of a day. But we were out there the other day, and there was another friend of ours who's just an incredible rider. Soon enough, whenever we get our videos up, you guys will see all our riding. And it's, one of our friends, Ian, is just an absolute shredder. He used to ride for USASA, and we're like,
he's
yo,
good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Very stout snowboarder. And we let him lead the way, and it was Trevor, it was Ian, me, and then Trevor, and we were all just snaking down the mountain, and we were doing just side hits. We're just focusing on anything that was natural on the side that was built from, you know, just people going over it continuously. And we were hitting jumps 15, 20 feet going off of them, and it was just something that not was created by man, but was already there, you know, and awesome. So cool to just have, like, an old-school skate session, you know, with, like, everyone just snaking around, and then...
Kind of just thrashing down the
hill.
Yeah,
thrashing down the hill,
can.
Throwing up snow wherever we can. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you keep your attitude in all sorts of weather, all sorts of conditions? Oh, it's windy today. Oh, my gosh, it's icy.
It really comes from gratitude, George. Just being grateful, keeping that gratitude about being out there when you can and you have good weather. Being out there when you can and there's bad weather. When it's snowing, that's when you're rejoicing because that's when the pow is. And you're grateful that you're on your snowboard and you're grateful for your buddies and they got your back. And you know, life's pretty simple when your board's on your foot and your buddy's by your side and your coffee mug is full of coffee.
And you all have one common goal, and that's what, to fulfill the stoke? I mean,
definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
And you're out in nature, it's just, it's like a, it's a temple, and it's really easy to stay stoked when you're doing something so beautiful all the time.
And I think of the days, too, where you're feeling maybe you're not on or you're feeling a little bit off or it's howling wind and you're freezing cold. Those are the days that when you stick it out till the end of the day, you ride that last chair and you get down to the bottom and you're not hurt, you're not broken, that you're just like, all right, this is why I do this. And even though that might have sucked a little bit, I'm getting up at 6 a.m. tomorrow to get first chair again. I think that keeps the drive going, definitely. Then on the days that it does suck, I mean, beer helps for sure. So we keep that going, keep the stoke going in any way possible with the
stoke bubbles. You know, we're all of age, and that's also another part of the passion. Is it's funny, but you know,
little Keystone at Keystone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's good. Well, adult sodas,
snowboard culture,
ski culture. Everyone's all about that.
First of many visits with the Stokey Mountain Boys. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat with us tonight.
George, we appreciate it very much, and thanks for checking in, guys.
Yeah, stay stoked out there.
Stay stoked, stay safe, checking out.
Keep it up. Can't wait to talk again.
Trevor Waters, Tanner Tedson, Willie Beauregard, from Yellow Belly in Boulder, Colorado.
Until next time.
We are out of here. Ow.